This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, when we hear about virtual reality, we think sci-fi, fantasy world, virtual reality gaming. But VR is getting closer to reality than we think. In fact, how about taking our Toastmasters Club into VR? Today, we're going to kick off a brand new year, and we have not one, but two guests who will enlighten us on this topic to complement your article, Ryan. And these guests are real. Ryan, who are we speaking with today?
Our first guest today is Melanie Stark. Melanie is a member of Speaking Machine and Laugh-A-Lot Toastmasters Clubs, both in Elk Grove, California. Melanie is a VR enthusiast, and she's also facilitated VR events coordinated between Toastmasters International and Rotary International, a joint event. Our second guest is Roberto Da Costa. Roberto's a New York City-based entrepreneur who bought a VR headset to fulfill a childhood dream of entering the worlds of the video games that he played growing up. Robert is so convinced of VR's future growth that he started a VR-based business called Connin VR, short for Connections in VR, and he hosts a weekly VR networking event. Melanie Stark and Roberto Da Costa, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome.
Hi.
Yes. Hello.
Glad to have you both here. Before we begin, I'm just going to ask Ryan, can you tell us a little bit of the backstory about the article that you wrote for the January 2022 issue of the Toastmaster magazine called Toastmasters Take Virtual to a New Reality?
So this summer, you and I were interviewing the incoming president of Toastmasters International, Margaret Page. During our post-interview chat, Margaret was sharing her experience of VR, introduced to her by none other than Melanie Stark. As I was listening to President Page talk about her experience, this light bulb went off, and I said, oh my goodness, I want to really explore this. I approached Toastmasters International, ran the idea by them of doing an article. They loved the idea. And so we were off to the races. Multiple calls, emails, and texts back and forth with Melanie, of course, meeting up in VR. One of the places Melanie introduced me to is Altspace VR. And it was through Altspace VR that I met Roberto, who, as I mentioned, hosts VR networking. And similar, I showed up to one of his events, and that moved into a Zoom call, texts, and emails. Roberto, I was blown away by your huge vision to revolutionize networking on a massive scale, and hopefully we'll be able to get into that a little bit as we go. That's the backstory, so it's so exciting to be on with both Melanie and Roberto. I do also want to just make a mention. There was another amazing person that I spoke with, Katashi Ishihara from Tokyo, Japan. He's the vice president for Storytelling Toastmasters, and you can find some of his story in the article. Unfortunately, he's not on the show today, but as I said, we're super stoked to have Melanie and Roberto with us.
Roberto, I'm curious. Some of our listeners will be VR enthusiasts. Some of them may be perhaps a bit familiar. Maybe they've seen Ready Player One, or maybe they know someone who has a VR set. But I'm also thinking there's a few out there, maybe a lot of people out there, that just have some vague notion. Could you open up by explaining a little bit about what it's all about?
VR is a recreation of the type of experiences that we have in the real world, or that we have imagined in a digital format that we can experience using tools like VR headsets. You could place yourself literally anywhere and experience what it's like being there. VR can put you in a space where you can connect with people and be fully immersed in the experience you're having. With that immersion comes an authentic way of connecting with people or objects, activities. A lot of that experience is felt through video games. You can become the character that you are playing as. That's the full immersion of virtual reality.
So as many of us are still homebound, that would really, really help you get through your day.
It creates an escape. That's a lot of different talking points on how VR is becoming a tool for escapism. But I honestly think it's the opposite. It's creating a space for you to have more introspect in your life and be able to connect with more people in a more human way that you would never be able to before.
I'm imagining what you're saying is resonating with Melanie's experience as well, because Melanie, I know you bought your headset during quarantine, looking to find a way to entertain the family with some VR video games, but then you discovered what's called social VR, and that instantly transformed your relationship with VR. So can you tell us, what is social VR and why was that such a game changer for you?
Well, this is a favorite subject of mine. As you said, we got the headset and I thought we were going to watch movies on it and play games. And then I wandered into social VR, and it's basically like a place where people all over the world put on their headsets and are suddenly together in the same room. There was a defining moment that changed my entire perspective on the power of VR. As human beings, we're very drawn to ritual and ceremony. And one of the things I think really pulls us in, especially as Toastmasters, is this ceremony that's part of our club meetings, the clapping, the inductions, the shaking of hands as people walk onto the stage and walk off. And we have very specific ways that we do things. And for me, at least, that speaks very much to my heart. And it doesn't matter what religion we're from or anything like that, because those rituals and those ceremonies and experiences bring us together. Well, during the pandemic, we were able to meet on Zoom, and we tried to do these ceremonies and rituals, and it kind of worked okay. But there were other things in my life that I couldn't do. And for example, funerals were something that were really missing. So I had a good friend from my karaoke group who passed away during the pandemic, and we couldn't have a funeral for him. One of our traditions is that if a member of our group passes away, we all get together and we sort of karaoke our feelings out about it. It's our ritual, and we couldn't do that. I was really having a hard time processing this death of my friend. I needed that social interaction to sort of let out those feelings. That weekend, I went into VR and I found a karaoke night. And I have to tell you, karaoke sounds terrible in VR right now. Acoustics are awful. But when you're a karaoke addict and you haven't had karaoke in a few months, you really don't care. You're just like, whatever, give me bad karaoke, I'll take it. Somebody got up and started singing my friend's song, Tennessee Whiskey. And all of a sudden, all of these pent-up emotions just came bursting out of me. I didn't even realize my microphone was on, but I was just sobbing and sobbing. And all of a sudden, I had 10 avatar people come floating over to me going, are you okay? Are you all right? And they were putting their disembodied arms around me, you know, and comforting me. And even though I couldn't physically feel them, there was something about that that just gave me such comfort. Like, I'm not alone. And I can grieve this. And I told them, I'm so sorry, you guys, this was my friend's song. And I explained what happened. And they were like, oh, honey, it's okay. Come on, grab a virtual microphone and we're all going to sing together. And it just was so healing. And by the end of the night, it was like, that was the release I needed. And it changed everything for me. I went, oh my gosh, the power of this.
I'm thinking about the hospitality suites at some of our district conferences and conventions with the karaoke. So I'm just imagining how much fun that would be in virtual reality if you physically can't be there.
Oh yeah. And you could dance in the sky. You could fly while you sing.
Roberto, this something that Melanie said about being together in the same room. And I've heard you speak about the shared experience. And I wondered if you wanted to say a word about that aspect of VR.
Yeah. Firstly, Melanie, that really touched me. Having seen people pass in my inner circle, having the friends around really does change how you grieve. And not having anybody around during COVID, when you said that the people came in and they started just being with you, that made me feel really good. And something warm inside happened. I'm just a little emotional about it. I appreciate you telling that story. The connection that happens in VR, it's human, it's real. The way I've experienced networking on Zoom, you know, and networking on Zoom became a huge industry in the last year and a half. I feel the difference is that you don't have any proximity to that person. They are just a square on your screen. That inability to be next to them or in front of them or to walk to them and then walk away to someone else creates a sense of I'm alone having this experience with these people. In virtual reality, that gets erased, and what's replaced is the same sense that you would feel if you were there in person. And it's obvious for the same reasons that I just brought up. Those reasons really create the experience of you talking to another human and being there, almost smelling another person next to you, you know, having the sense of connection and camaraderie.
Roberto, you touched upon networking. Can you perhaps share a little bit about some of the other types of events that may be available in VR where speakers can practice their skills, and what's it like?
I host these trade shows and I invite business professionals to come in and bring some sort of knowledge or interesting topic to present. There are conferences that are being hosted. There are people who are producing comedy shows. Kyle with Fail to Render is doing a really good job at blowing up VR for comedy. There are people who are in the spiritual world bringing up topics around what they know and what they're professional at. There's a lot of different stages. And it's basically that. This platform is a virtual stage for somebody to come in and present whatever it is that they feel is a good topic to talk about, to share their knowledge.
There's something that's still nagging me a little bit. I'm wondering if it's still too fake to be real, right? You know, we talked about the karaoke, we talked about the cocktail type parties, but I'm thinking if someone is trying to deliver a presentation, could be a $10 million sales order of some sort, or even someone just trying to present themselves, whether or not the fact that it's virtual in the sense that it's avatars, et cetera, you know, how that would impact the delivery, how that would impact the performance. Wearing a headset is a little awkward. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think that virtual reality is ever going to replace physical reality. There's a lot of movies that have been made about how VR is going to take over reality and we're not even going to know where we are. And I don't think that's going to happen, to be honest. It's not the same as physical reality. It's not going to take over your relationships with your family or take away from the live experience of a Toastmasters club. It's just another experience. And it's one that, especially in these times when we can't get together with our club physically, that we can have another experience that fills some of those needs. But it's never going to take over, I don't think.
No, I agree. I think that VR is just an addition to our experience. It's really an extension of our ability. And if you're talking about bringing out a professional presentation, right now, maybe not, just because everything's still in development. And the market share is relatively small to everything else. But in 2 years from now, I think that the tools will be ready for better presentations than in real life. And your experience watching that presentation will be better in general. You'll have more to see, more to learn, and there'll be more to experience. When somebody can walk you through a 3D rendering of their architecture, as opposed to show you some floor layouts. One example.
Yeah. So it's not quite ready for prime time yet, but it's coming.
Oh, it's coming soon.
Mm.
I don't know. I think it's ready for prime time. Maybe sub prime time.
That's a thing. We have a lot of hurdles. You know, I was talking to the creative director at Vayner NFT, and we were trying to walk her through to experience a VaynerMedia office room that my buddy Liam designed and set up in Altspace. And it was hard. Altspace isn't a easy thing to access. It's very much a secondary, third, triary step that you need to take to finally be in the experience. But when the tech becomes easier to jump into a space just by clicking a link or creating an account without having to go through all these stumbling blocks, that'll be the prime time. That's when everybody will be in with no issues, no flaws, and we'll have billions of people in virtual reality.
Just as Zoom has now become mainstream and it's become accepted, everyone's using it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's an easy share link, yeah. Right? You can just jump in by clicking a button.
Yeah. Good point.
I think of the Oculus Quest 2, as fascinated as I am, it's like the flip phone stage of mobile development. We haven't even reached iPhone and iPad yet in terms of what's to come with the VR headset.
Is that a big monstrosity, Ryan?
It's not huge. It weighs probably a couple pounds and straps on your head. It's a wireless device, and there are two handheld controllers that allow you to move your arms and hands, even fingers. It's not quite mass market yet, but the fact that, for example, I bought my Oculus this summer at a Target store. It's $299 US. The price is accessible. I just want to touch back onto something that Melanie said about VR not replacing real life. And I remember you shared something with me, Melanie, your experience after you've been in a VR session, when you then take off the headset and walk outside. Can you say a word about that?
Oh, it's like the graphics on the physical world are so great. I think it makes you appreciate sunlight and grass and the beauty of this world so much, especially when you see it rendered in someone's imagination. Just the other night, I visited a remote village in Indonesia with my friend who's in Fiji through virtual reality. This remote village was actually threatened by the Indonesian government because they wanted to drill it for oil. It was so precious to the people who were there, and they didn't want to lose their land and their culture. This kid made a rendering of his village in VR to show the world, look, this is our village and this is what we're trying to preserve. And it was so beautiful, all the forestry and everything. And he had signs everywhere walking people through what the beauty of their traditions and their culture was and why they didn't want to lose it. I can't say that it was solely because of this VR rendering that got them the money from the philanthropists that they needed to hold on to their land, but I'm sure that it helped, because it definitely opened my eyes to, wow, this is something that until I actually stepped into it, I wouldn't have understood. And it made me take off my headset and go outside and be so thankful for the world that I have, that I'm able to touch the ground and be with my land, my little backyard in suburbia. It made me appreciate things.
Looks like it took just one person offering a virtual reality to create some new possibilities.
Exactly.
Yeah. So speaking of possibilities, I'm just curious if there's anything else you can share with respect to VR to enrich the Toastmasters experience. Melanie.
I'm thinking of so many ways that you can demonstrate things in VR that you can't in physical reality. I was at a meeting one time and the guy reached up into the sky and pulled down the International Space Station and shrunk it down to size and showed us all the parts. I was at another one where we went to the top of a mountain and a guy demonstrated beekeeping. He had beehives and took them all apart and he explained all the parts to us. And there were bees buzzing around us everywhere, but I wasn't afraid they were going to sting me. There was just no fear. One other thing that can be done in VR that is so beautiful and so mind-blowing to me is math. There are things you can teach about mathematics in VR because you have that three-dimensional way of being able to manipulate shapes and things that you just can't teach in a book. But to actually see it and conceptualize it in a whole new way is almost unreal. To take something like Toastmasters into VR, any subject anybody wants to talk about, they can show it to us. They can actually take us and immerse us into the experience as they give their speech. It gives me chills to think about the possibilities that we can learn and we can teach each other through Toastmasters having the power of virtual reality.
I'm thinking Star Trek holodeck.
Yes, precisely.
Well, of course, another place where Toastmasters or anyone can practice their skills in virtual reality is at one of Roberto's VR networking events. I referred to it earlier. I'm just absolutely inspired by your massive vision for VR networking. And Roberto, I'd like to just invite you to take a moment and share a bit about what those events are and how people can participate.
The networking events are like any networking event, except it's in virtual reality. My hope is to create a brand that creates more connections by using this technology and allows people to connect on the topic of business so that they can, one, break out of their limits within their own smaller community and reach the people that they really need to reach to benefit from and develop their business better. And two, to design a new way to market their product or brand online. Up until recently, we've only had social media as a way to talk about our products or connect with our community and our brand and show off who we are to the world. But now with virtual reality, we have this other way to really send a message of what we're trying to produce, what our missions are. I think that right now is a great time to jump into virtual reality for business. It's counterintuitive. There's not that many people in virtual reality. There's a niche amount of people, the people who are interested in VR, but in that niche number, you'll find your market that are really interested in what you're doing or what your product is. And that's the best way to start a community, is finding a small group of people who love what you do and why you do it. And they will be your cheerleaders later on. And I think that small business owners have more power now, jumping in early, to capture the power of marketing yourself in virtual reality. That's what I hope to bring to the community in VR networking events, and kind of put a spotlight on each individual person so that way they feel more confident in themselves and their business. And then bringing on speakers, I'm always looking for business coaches, people who are professional at speaking and delivering a message to these entrepreneurs, startup owners, small and mid-sized business owners, how to do better in their business in whatever way. So I'm always looking for coaches who will come in and present something meaningful and entertaining. People want to be entertained. And if you could put in knowledge in that entertainment, like Melanie said, if you could pull something out of the sky and make it a cool event, that's what people are going to learn from, way better than a Zoom meeting or an online course could ever.
So you have knowledge, you have entertainment. What other things might someone expect at one of your VR networking events?
These trade shows that I'm running are a way for you to host a booth and have people come by, they buzz around and see you and your brand, and they start a conversation. I think that the trade shows just create a human experience for you to talk to people about your brands and market yourself in an authentic way.
A lot of clubs have now gone to the hybrid model, and I'm thinking there's some possibilities in integrating virtual reality into their meetings. I want to throw this one over to Melanie. What are some of the things that can perhaps go awry? Things that maybe some little kinks in the armor that might happen when someone's maybe just getting started with a VR event?
I actually have a funny story. One night, I decided to do an experiment with my Toastmasters club on Zoom, where I went into virtual reality and gave my speech from virtual reality. They could see my avatar speaking to them in Zoom, and they could also see a little square of me with my headset on. I'm in virtual reality as an avatar, standing in front of a giant Zoom screen, giving a speech about virtual reality, and then in comes some weird stranger guy behind me and starts dancing. And I realized there was no way for me to really block anybody out, that wherever I was, somebody could walk in. One thing you have to realize in VR, and it happens with all social media, is that you're going to get weirdos. You're going to get people who want to troll, people who really love the idea that they're anonymous and they're an avatar, and they think that it's okay to behave in ways that maybe aren't kosher. That's just going to happen, I think. I mean, it actually happens in physical reality too.
Children are in these spaces all the time. If I see a child coming into the room, I kick them out because it's a business event and they don't need to be there. But I also think that the majority of the events that are being held in alt space, they also have the same culture. They see a child running around and they'll just kick them out. Alt space has done a good job at maintaining a professional level of content and content creators.
What about the reliability of the technology? You're relying on headsets that have batteries. You're also looking at pretty processor-intense applications that are being used. Have you had any experience with technology failure?
I have an Oculus Quest 2. The battery use, honestly, it's not that big of a deal. I bought a secondary battery that attaches to the back, but I don't stay in VR that much. And I don't think that many people with a regular lifestyle are going to be staying in VR for many hours on end. So I don't think it's that much of an issue right now.
Actually, I was at one of your VR networking events, Roberto, and I was talking with a gentleman from the UK, and all of a sudden he just disappeared. And I thought, oh man, he must have just not had a good feeling about me and ghosted. Well, 10 minutes later, he showed up back in the room and explained his battery had died and he had to charge it back up and jump back in.
I've had that experience when I'm talking to somebody and I'm really interested and we haven't friended each other yet.
Oh.
And I have never seen them again.
Before we wrap up, I'd like to ask Ryan a question. You were excited with this from the beginning. I mean, we both were, but you were, the light bulb didn't go on. You just shattered that light bulb. I'm just curious as to what your perceptions were before you started doing your research and doing the article and interviewing Roberto and Melanie and the other people and how it's changed.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Greg. When we spoke to Margaret Page, I was just so blown away, the concept of potentially Toastmasters using virtual reality. I had used a headset a couple years prior, but those were individual experiences without the social VR component that Melanie so eloquently spoke to. I dove into my research, and one of the first things I looked up was this event that Melanie hosted between Toastmasters and Rotary International, and I found a YouTube recording of it, and my heart sank, to be honest. This is not a comment on you, Melanie. You were great as a host, but I saw this room that just looked so fake. And I saw these avatars that looked like, I don't know, Nintendo Wii cartoonish characters. And I thought, oh man, this is lame. This just is not what I thought it would be. But I did some more research. And I have to tell you, it all changed when I got my Oculus and I put it on and I saw those rooms from the inside. It's so different. It looks lame and cheesy in 2D on a YouTube video, but when you're standing next to that other avatar in 3D, you have to experience it in order to get it. And if you don't believe me, if you've seen videos from Altspace VR or you've seen still shots from it, I get it, but you just got to believe me. I think when it really clicked for me, I went into a platform called Spatial. We were looking at different meeting spaces, meeting rooms. And this particular platform, you could pull up a sticky note right in front of you and use your hand controller to pick up a marker and write on it. And I began to write. And I had the tactile sensation that I was actually writing on a surface. It was little vibrations in the controller. And it so completely surprised me. If it's this good in 2021, now 2022, how amazing is it going to be in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? Greg, I was so excited about this experience that, as you know, I am looking with the assistance of Melanie, with the encouragement of Roberto, to start a new Toastmasters club exclusively in VR. And if you're listening to this and you're interested, you have a VR headset or you're willing to invest in one, I invite you to go to vrtoastmasters.com and fill out the interest form. We'll be starting things up in the first quarter of 2022.
Melanie, Roberto, thank you so much for being a guest on the program today. If you could please let us know what is the best way people can reach you. And I'll start with Melanie.
Sure. The best way to reach me would be through Facebook, or you can email me at melanie@melaniestark.com.
Great. And Roberto?
You can find me on LinkedIn with my full name, Roberto Da Costa, or you can shoot me an email at roberto@coninvr.com.
That's fantastic. We'll definitely put that in the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please, please share it with your friends and family and fellow Toastmasters. And you can catch the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasters.org, toastmasterspodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and of course, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Greg, before we go, I just want to add that I can't recommend Roberto's VR networking events enough. So if that interests you, please check out coninvr.com. And if nothing else, you will see an example of just a really amazing leader, a gracious host, an inclusive host. Robert puts on really, really first-class events. And I think everybody would enjoy it and learn a lot from him. I know I sure have.
Thanks, Ryan.
So Melanie Stark, Roberto Da Costa, thanks so much for being on the show. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us.
It was real.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.